It's loud. Too loud. Is that okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 12:6-23. The title of this is Demonic Activity in Apostolic Ministry. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to read you some things because this is just some thoughts that the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And then we'll get into some scriptures here. Demonic activity in apostolic ministry. It was around probably, I think, 2022. It might have been earlier than that. The Holy Spirit quickened to me that the office of apostle was like a sheriff. A sheriff, y'all remember that? In the natural, sheriffs take jurisdiction over their county. All right, they have full authority. They even have the authority to tell the federal government to leave the state and don't come back with the threat of being sent to jail if they don't leave. That's how much jurisdiction our county sheriff have. Sheriffs are elected by us, the people, and we, the people, pay their salary. Like the police, they're not paid by the public. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know. But the sheriffs do. They're different. Okay? God's apostles have jurisdiction in their areas. Paul over the Gentile nations, Peter over the Jews. They have full authority in that jurisdiction to send the demons packing as God lays out the plan. Have you heard of Ghostbusters? Apostles are demon busters. All right. Many years ago, before I knew about the apostolic call on my life, I had an experience in the grocery store. I was at the far end on the aisle, and I kept hearing this voice asking me why I never smiled. It could have only been the devil, for I've had others over the years ask me the same thing, so much so it really aggravated me. I mean, anytime anybody say it to me, it just ripped through me. So I thought, that had to be the devil. It had to be the devil. All right, for I've had other, okay, so much so it really aggravated me. Maybe that wasn't the first time I've had demons speaking to me. Because I've had others do that to me. And it was real intimidating to me when they did it. All right, you'll think, what's that got to do with anything? You'll see. So now I know what I've been dealing with. The demons, it seems, when they come across someone with authority, like an apostle, they cannot help themselves. Okay. Jesus with the madman of Gadara. Paul and the slave girl, that's two examples. Why do they cry out? Well, you'd think they'd want to hide, right? They expose themselves by crying out. It's obvious. What do apostles and their teams do? Demon busters, right? And what we're here for, and it's what we've been doing, routing the devil out of our country, out of our homes, out of our city, out of our, you know, everywhere. All right. They know what they have seized is illegal and that the land they are on does not legally belong to them, just like the demons wanted to go into the pigs and Jesus said go. They didn't want to lose complete control. But it was a dead end. All right, we're going to look at some scripture right quick. Luke chapter 9. All right, 9. We're going to start with verse 37 there. Then the whole multitude of the country, the gatherings round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into a ship. Am I reading the right thing? 9:37. I'm not gonna read that one. I just quoted that. I don't think I'll put that one down. But anyway, I'm looking at another instance. This is 9:37, yeah. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him. He suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child, delivered him again to his father. Okay. All right, Jesus the apostle in action here. You know, Jesus healed a lot of people that had demon problems. I believe he stepped over into apostolic office because that's what they take care of. They, you know, if you even look at Paul, you know, that's the area. All right. No wonder they called him chief of the demons. That's what they called him. No one had ever seen anyone with this kind of authority, especially over demons. Because, I mean, you've got these people, this madman of Gadara, terrorizing the whole city, probably running around naked and cutting himself, and they couldn't contain him, tried to chain him up. He broke the chains, and here comes Jesus. Bam, he's delivered. Demons going to pig and flies over the cliff, and you're going, he's the chief of the demons. You see why the reasoning there? Yeah. I had never seen it that way before, but you know, I'm thinking, you know, it really does make sense. Someone with that kind of authority that could speak, tell the demon to go or do whatever, and it obeyed. All right, now go to Luke 11, 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the devil spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Then he goes on to say, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if by Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And he goes, starts talking about the strong man. All right, we're not going to read about the strong man. Just this. All right, Luke 13, 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Think about the commission that was laid down when he's talking to his apostles. You will cast out devils. You will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Signs and wonders follow the apostolic ministry. In this case, it cast out a devil that had this woman bound. 18 years. That's a long time. All right, let's go back now a few pages to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 28. This is the madman of Gadara here. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Now, there's two different accounts. So there was more than one madman in Gadara. I'm going, man, that city must have really been taken with demons. What? Oh, okay. There met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, O Son of God? It's the devil talking to him. He gave himself away, didn't he? I want you to start observing when you go places. If you have some unusual things happen, you just might be having an encounter with a demonic. Behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything what was befallen to those the possessed of the devils. And the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. You'd think they'd be thanking him for getting rid of these crazy lunatics that was causing all the problems. All right, go now to Acts 16. We're just going to read a couple of verses here. And it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. This was that demon speaking through her. Giving himself away. He's about to lose his home. They can't help themselves. They recognize authority. They did in Jesus. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Now, Paul got the plan. He didn't just do it immediately. He prayed. It says here, she did this many days. Everywhere they went, here she's behind them going, all this mess. Harassment. This demon speaking. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and she came out the same hour. So it might not have come out just like that. It came out the same hour, it said. You know, we tend to think this just happens wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Why don't it happen that way for us? Well, I think, you know, it's easy to think that. It's easy to think that the whole Bible just, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. Then we don't realize it was years. Well, he said here, within the hour it came out. So there might have been a little something going on there. We don't know. All right. I know that the warfare has been tough. And all of us just want it to go away. Anybody want it to go away? Your hand. I know your. Raise your hand. Okay. The devil will have to go away for it to go away. Right? He'll have to be in the pit. All right. I think we have not been seeing things the way that we should. It is not as you have assumed. I want to give you the perspective the Lord gave me this morning, and it caused me to look at things differently. I still don't like it, but it caused me to see things in a different light. As an apostolic team, you've been infiltrating the strongholds of the enemy and taking them out. The flak is all about the demons trying to hold to the ground they are illegally on. And we've seen our governor make mandates. We've been speaking all these years. They send decoys your way to try to deter you. Let's keep listening. Anything to distract you from your mission. If you stop and look at what you're experiencing, then they have succeeded. You've taken your eye off the target. You've dropped the ball. You understand what I'm saying? Their objective is to get your attention off of them and onto yourself. And what you're experiencing and what you're going through. All right, keep listening. The horrendous day in the school gym was just such an attack. When you start exposing demons in people, they start crying out. Well, we have a Strong's Concordance at home. We don't need to hear you read it. I still use the Strong's a lot, and I use it on TV. I just love it. I just want to say to this person that said that, this demon in this person, I just want to say, I'm still using it. This is for you. I didn't know that then. I was devastated what happened that day. But I thought, man, if I'd have known what I know now, isn't hindsight always better? All right, let me keep going here. The message the Lord had given me was an apostolic message even then. It has not changed. My message has not changed since 1994. I knew nothing about the apostolic ministry then, but the demons did. I was being targeted, that group that morning. What they did was by demons. I mean, straight from hell. And these are spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians that had prayed for this kind of ministry to come. But they didn't know what they was asking for because they don't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. All we've heard in the Permian Basin for years and years and years and years and years is waiting for that oasis in the desert. Some ministry to rise up that would bring the Word of God the way it's supposed to be. But when it shows up, just like when Jesus showed up, they didn't recognize Him. And the leaders did everything they could. Well, they killed Him. Well, they stoned me that day with their words. Okay. I didn't think then I had anything special or any special authority, but demons knew I did. I was a threat to them, whether I knew it or not. I also didn't know anything about it when the bread man said what he said to me in the store. I mean, it scared me so bad I stayed away from the store for 6 weeks. And I made sure that I looked down the bread aisle every time I went in there because I didn't want to see that guy. But then when I finally got over it, I walked in the store and he saw me coming and he went the other way as far as he could go. I'm telling you, it's been a journey for me how the Lord has shown me stuff. You know, it's a little unconventional. Some people think, well, that's just silly. Well, maybe it is silly to you, but that's how the Lord showed me what was going on. I hadn't had anybody to teach me. Except the Lord, and He's the only one worth hearing to be taught from. When I did TV this week, I spent quite a bit of time on that area right there, talking to people about, quit following the crowd. Quit reading all their books. Now if the Lord leads you to read their book, read the book. But I said, how are you going to stay in your lane and do what He tells you to do if you're reading everybody else's book? So you can't even hook up with the ministry and stay in your lane if you're reading all these books. Before you know it, you're over there in their lane. I won't go say more about that. All right. Not faulting anybody. That's the way the whole church is. Everybody's going to do the purpose-driven life. I remember that. It's like every church in town of the nation's doing the purpose-driven life. Somebody asked me, have you ever read the purpose-driven life? And I said, no, and I'm not going to read it. unless the Lord tells me to read it. Now, he's allowed me to read books about the apostle because I didn't know what that was. But not just anybody. He led me who to go to. All right, and so far with Rick Renner, we agree on everything except the rapture and Paul's thorn. I don't think it's just being beat up by people when you go places. It's other things too. That's the only two things. But as far as what I've already learned, he is spot on with everything the Lord said to me. Everything. And that blesses me to know that somebody else in the body of Christ actually gets it. All right. Let me pick up here where I left off. All right. I also didn't know anything about the bread man when he said that to me. But over the years, the signs have become clearer of what is really going on. It goes with the territory. It goes with the call. If you think you're going to take out the strongholds of the enemy and not get any flack, it's unrealistic. I think I could safely say that any time a demonic comes near apostolic authority, they can't help but cry out. They're ratting themselves out, and they can't help themselves. They're going, what am I doing? What? Trying to get your... Like, shut up. All the demons in there are going, shut up, we're fixing to lose our home. This is crazy. I'm not making this stuff up. It's what the Lord gave me today. And I've had a, 2-day shoot. I was empty when I got up, and I didn't have a clue. The Lord started talking to me. So I just sit and wrote it down. All right, our focus is to set people free from the strongholds of their minds, and on occasions, a demon will manifest. The flack we might receive back should be viewed as such and resist the urge to let it stop you, cause you to turn back, focusing on what is happening to you, etc. This is just what the enemy wants you to do, so it takes the focus off of him. He's the target. It's like Laura Singer going to Italy, and she got off the plane and immediately had a headache and nausea. She said the whole city was full of idols. What was she experiencing? Demonic activity. Okay. I know what you're experiencing seems real and feels it, but recognize it for what it is. It takes maturity to see this and not fall for the bait. My advice is slow and steady and keep your mouth saying the right things. Don't let him have your mouth. I don't care what you feel or what you see. This type of ministry is not for the immature or faint of heart. Let me say, I'm going to tell off on myself. For quite a while now, probably 6 months, I've been dealing with an extra thing along with the other things. And been very difficult. And so for the last few nights, I've been sleeping in my recliner just because of pain, And been waking up okay, not sleeping too well on the chair, but waking up not so much pain. And earlier I did some cleaning and I started having pain. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? I don't understand. What do you want me to do? Well, he was saying, get back in that bed and act like you're okay. He said, if you're going to use your flesh to take care of yourself, then that's the result you're going to get. He says, if you're going to use the flesh to take care of yourself, then you're going to get the results of the flesh you use. Now, he may require more of me than you, so I'm not here to put any guilt trip on anybody if the Lord's allowed you to take medicine or use means, but I don't. I mean, I think I've had one Tylenol for 5 years. And so, I'm not doing that to brag. It's just the Lord expects, if I'm going to lead the bunch, I better be able to walk it, right? That's the way I look at it. And I'm telling you, I said, Lord, I repent. I want it your way. The weapon of my warfare is not carnal. It's not working anyway. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 10 minutes. Pain gone. So I want you to know, this is Satan's illusion. It's the darts that he fires that look real, feel real. But when you call his bluff and you use the word, he has to respond. All right. I'm as serious as I know how to be. All right, Acts 15. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, you know, Silas was the one that was in prison with him. They got beat up, and they're both singing praises to God. Paul said, nope, I don't need that John Mark. You know, he needs to go home to mama. In other words, he needs to grow up a little bit before he can be trusted with this kind of the things that we have to go through. Well, Barnabas was his cousin or something like that. So he, wasn't it his cousin? I don't remember. Wait a minute. Barnabas determined to take John. Well, I think in some other place it talks about him, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, he was a relative, I think, of some kind. And so that's what caused the break between Paul and Barnabas, which was really sad because Barnabas really was the one that introduced Paul into the circle and said, don't be afraid of him, you know, because he was killing people in the church. Anyway, it just got too hot in the kitchen for John Mark. It makes me laugh when I hear people talk about the Lord's army. They don't have a clue. They don't know what the heck they're talking about. It's just a cliche. Now, there may be few. I'm saying, you know, maybe that's not a quiet terminology, but sometimes I just think, this is serious business. You know, all right, if a little heat comes their way, they get out of the kitchen for sure. I mean, apostles and their teams have supernatural endurance for the task ahead. The equipment goes with the ministry. All right, Paul had full understanding about his call and all that went with it, but he overcame it all. This is the combat zone. And your stand is of the utmost importance. Instead of focusing on your battle wounds, you must focus on how to take out the entity that is enforcing the illusion that you're experiencing. Fake news and false evidence appearing real. It all goes with this call. A few days ago, the Lord spoke to me. I kept saying, Lord, what is going on? Because I told you, it's been difficult. It's been difficult for all of us. And I just said, Lord, I thought you said the training's over. And he said, you're not being trained. Your training's being tested. And like when Jesus went to the wilderness, his training was being tested. Who was testing him? The devil. It got pretty hot for Jesus. I mean, the man was starving. And he was being tempted to eat food. You think, Lord, I just don't know why you're letting me go through this. Why, you know? Because he has to see if you're battle ready. He has to see if you're ready. How else is he going to do it? I mean, if he did it to his son, aren't we the sons of God? Just think about that. All right, now turn over to 2 Corinthians. Are y'all getting me today? I know it's kind of a heavy subject, but we need to face a reality and quit. Well, that's not the right word. What happens if it doesn't ever go away? I know the grace comes, but I didn't see it go away for Paul, did you? All right. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. If ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever he is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. That's 195 stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. As far as I know, when they beat them with rods, they broke all the bones in their hands and their feet. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Now, I was telling Danny, reading after, you know how Rick Renner is and the way he researches, and he just, you just finally, move on already, you know. But he was talking about when they stoned people, they went for the head to crush the skull. And Paul talks about he went to the third heaven. And a lot of people believe, and I kind of think so, that that's when he died and he went to heaven and he come back. Because they got around him and prayed for him. And he got up and walked in the city. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in other words, in the water, no rescue, in journeys often. What's the devil tried to do to this whole nation, this whole world, and to us? Get us so beat down and bowed down, we don't even want to go out of our houses. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I don't feel like it. Just think about it. In journeys often. In perils of waters. Was there sharks? In perils of robbers. He walked a lot of places. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. That means you're up all night. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Do they steal his clothes? Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. Well, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with the garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I lit down by the wall and escaped his hands. You think, wow. But Paul prevailed. Yeah, I wrote down all the things. Doesn't sound like it was in God's face. He was in God's face all the time, trying to get the stuff off of him, does it? The only time it talks about he did this is when he went to the Lord about three times. Why is he getting his butt kicked everywhere he went? And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And it was. All right. As we wonder how Satan has prevailed against the church has not prevailed against him. That's how Satan has prevailed against the church. People in the church are weak. There are many sick and weakly among us. They don't have a clue. The only warfare they know of is go call the pastor when I got something wrong or go call the prayer chain. And that's what we grew up around. Or not grew up, but that's the Christian churches that we've been to, that's pretty well what it was. You might find one or two that actually were intercessors or did something extra, but most everybody else, that's how they took care of everything. Had their little Bible studies. Didn't learn a thing. It's because not the right things have been taught. I mean, I don't mean that to sound arrogant, but we have to be taught how to war a good warfare. We have to be taught from God's Word, what He expects of us. And these things are expected of us in the Word. All right. I will say this to you. You need to make sure this is what God has called you to do. To move forward, our view of all of this is crucial. How you succeed or fail will be how you look at it. If you see it for what it is and who it is behind it, you'll have a better attitude and a better view to move forward. But think about this, and I will say this about the Lord. We didn't start there. It's like we started at a certain place and we thought that was terrible, but we look back now and think that's nothing compared to now. He took us kind of the long way to get us ready to be able to do what we need to do. He didn't just put it all on us at the beginning because we couldn't have took it. That's why people bail out and run because they can't stand the heat, so they get out of the kitchen. All right. All right. Never take your eyes off of the enemy. Like I'm telling you, he's got his distractions to try to get your focus off of him and onto yourself. All right, take him out and see it through and don't let him turn the tables on you and put the focus on you. It isn't about you. It's about taking the enemy out. That's your target. That's your goal. All the things you're experiencing are common with this calling. These are Satan's deterrents. Here's what it means to deter. To frighten, terror, discourage, turn aside or prevent from acting. Sums it up, doesn't it? All these things. The devil throws them out there. It reminds me of the submarine, you know, whenever a torpedo's been launched and then they send out the deterrents to try to ward off the, deflect the weapon that's been fired. That's what the enemy does. When you stand and you decree and you say what the Spirit wants you to say, he'll try to deter you. But we're not the ones here to be deterred. We are the ones that are to stand our ground and take our land back. That's our assignment. So I just wanted you to understand. I'm glad the Lord gave me this understanding today because it has changed my perspective. And I hope it has changed yours also. All right? Okay.